Seals are big business these days on Cape Cod. Tour boats shuttle visitors to watch as the seals sun themselves on Monomoy Island south of Chatham. At the Chatham Fish Pier, they bob their heads out of the water with an almost human-like quality, playfully swimming here and there as fishermen unload their catch. But the cuteness factor is lost on local fishermen like Nick Mudo. He says he now has to compete with seals for fish, and it's the seals who have a clear advantage.
Fishermen feel we're being blamed for, you know, a lot of the decline of the codfish population. But in essence, in just the Cape Cod area alone, there's 14,000 unregulated fishermen being the seal population.
Mudo's statistic may actually be a bit low. Current estimates place the number of seals around Cape Cod at more than 15,000, almost triple the number from 1999. They gravitate to places like Monomoy because it's isolated and ideally suited to raising pups. The seals are here in big numbers. They're here to stay. And these wily predators have gotten very good at competing with local fishermen for dwindling numbers of fish.
They're eating the fish right out of the nets. I've worked in some of the fish weirs in Nantucket Sound, and they will eat every single fish that we catch. And those guys really in years haven't made any money. To see what little fish were in there, have it eaten by seals, I mean, it's so frustrating.
Mudo has been a commercial fisherman for 11 years. He tends his 700 lobster pots during the summer, and in the winter, he works on the crew of the Lorry B out of Chatham, fishing for skate and monkfish. He says he's amazed at how intelligent and resourceful the seals can be.
I've watched them climb up and over twine that is up 6-8 feet out of the water. They'll haul themselves up and over and get in and or rip holes in the twine to get out of it. And then when we pull up here into the harbor, I feel they're attracted by the sound of the diesel engines. To them, a diesel engine means there might be some food that gets washed over.
Up until the 1960s, gray seals were hunted to the point where they almost disappeared completely from the area. Then in 1972, they became a federally protected species under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Since then, local seal populations have exploded.
I think some of the fishermen wish we could be protected the same way the seals would be protected and make sure we had, you know, we could stay out there forever. But it seems the focus is to make sure that the seals are all right. And if the fishermen go by the wayside, well, it's collateral damage, you know?
At a Chatham Seal Symposium last March, biologist Greg Early says the Marine Mammal Protection Act is more broadly based than most people realize. Simply put, it's not just about the seals.
It's a very interesting kind of groundbreaking sort of law that was really designed to protect the animals, but also protect the environment in which the animals live. So you're supposed to create an environment where their populations can grow to their maximum levels. Most people interpret it as being strictly, you know, prohibition on individual species, but it's broader than that. I mean, it looks more at the ecosystem than just single species.
Early says data collection about seal populations has gotten better in recent years. But what fishermen really want to know is, what's the plan for dealing with all this new information? Mike Simpkins is branch chief of the Protected Species Branch at the Northeast Fisheries Science Center in Woods Hole. His agency is charged with generating the science on seals and passing that information along to regulators.
We're trying to understand their ecology and how they're operating so we can understand, is there a real conflict with fisheries and for what?
Simpkins says fishermen only see part of the story.
You know, they're out on the water a lot, they're on boats, and so they see certain things that we won't see because we're not out on the water all the time. But we're also, you know, when we're flying surveys or when we're collecting diet samples or when we're tagging animals and tracking them, that's information that they don't have.
Seals spend 80 to 90% of their lives underwater. Simpkins says that's why it's so hard to collect concrete data on their behavior.
There can be a lot of variability between what seal A and seal B do. They could go entirely different directions.
Last month, Simpkins' agency spearheaded a major gray seal tagging effort in Chatham. The goal is to get a better handle on where and how far gray seals travel when they're not on land and what they're up to.
This is a first step to start getting that information and get a sense for what they're doing. Maybe they'll all do the same thing. Maybe they'll all go in different directions. But whatever we get will help us get a better sense for putting some bounds on what may be really happening out there in the water, which is the part that's really hard to work in.
Those conversations are underway. One example is the Northwest Atlantic Seal Research Consortium, a research partnership involving both fishermen and marine scientists. But no matter how well all the stakeholders work together, how accurate the stock assessments are, and what solutions are proposed, the Marine Mammal Protection Act remains the law of the land, and changing that would require an act of Congress. It may come to that. Until then, fishermen will try and adapt their methods to better meet the challenges of their cunning underwater competitors. For WCAI, I'm Brian Morris in Chatham.